to its own business. So, all right. Let's pray as we get into the text here. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. And I'm going to read that text for us real quick here. Should have it up on the screen. And then I want to pray. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as you gather us as a people here around your word this morning, there's power in your word. I pray in the power of your spirit, Lord Jesus, that you would move among us, that you would shape our minds and our hearts, our souls, and that, as Moses said to the people of Israel, may it be true about us that these words that I am teaching you are not just words, they are your life. So, Lord, your word is our life. And so, Lord, as we come before it this morning, I pray that you would teach us, that you would grow us, that you would help us to understand, and then help us to be a people of your word in our daily lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This text is, I was wrestling with it. I told a few people I've been wrestling with this text this past week, and a little bit more than maybe usual. There's some interesting twists and turns in the text, and we'll get into that in just a minute. Kind of the big picture point of what's going on and what the text is saying is that Peter is encouraging these people who have been scattered for their faith in Christ. They've had to leave their homes. They've had to leave their jobs. They've had to leave the cities where they live, and they've been scattered out to different cities because they were Christians, because they were living out their faith in the everyday, and that just wasn't going to be tolerated in their location anymore. And so Peter has encouraged them that they're, you know, the question you start to ask when things like that, circumstances are hard or difficult, or you're suffering because of your faith in Jesus, we all start to ask those questions, right? Hey, what's going on, Lord? Am I somehow like outside of your will? Is this suffering something? Are you punishing me for something? I mean, what's going on? Why are things going this way outwardly? And so Peter is encouraging them and saying, no, you're not outside of God's will. In fact, the fact that you're willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ in this world shows that you're right in the center of his will. You're right in the center of his will. And so this particular section of scripture, what Peter is doing is he's encouraging the church that by telling them and teaching them again, they already know that we are a people who are unique in this world. We are a people who have been born again, who have been changed from the inside out, and have the very presence and life of God now in seed form within us. We are a people who have been born, who are born again, and are being built on the gospel word of God, or the word of God. And you're going to see this right away in the text. You can see that. Look at how many, just stick with me. I'm going to try to circle these things with my finger. How many ways he talks about the word of God here? Okay, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. So the word of God is, oh man, I didn't spell that right now. Sorry, I was typing fast this morning. That should be truth, not tur, or whatever it says. Okay, so our souls, our inward, our hearts have been purified. That means we've become pure means to be single-minded, single-mindedly devoted now to God through, by means of our obedience to the truth of God in Christ. When the gospel was presented to us, Peter is saying, we responded by faith in Jesus Christ. We trusted him to be the Savior who could take away and forgive us of our sins, to be the one who can change us from the inside out, because we're not just sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Something had to be done about our nature. Our souls had to be changed. And then that's, so by accepting the truth of Christ, by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, however you want to say that, when that word of the gospel came to you, it not only just, you just didn't make a decision outwardly, it changed your heart the moment you heard it and it penetrated there. And so because by means of your obedience to the truth of Christ, your souls have been, past tense, purified. For, and we're going to get into this just a second, I want to get into the other ways he talks about the word. The next verse down here, you're born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable. So the word of God is imperishable seed, right? So it's a seed. So the word of God is the truth. The word of God is an imperishable seed that gets planted within our hearts and then starts to grow through living body and word of God. And then he goes, all flesh is like grass, the grass withers, flowers fall, but the word of the Lord, now it's called the word of the Lord, remains forever. And then, and this word is the good news that was preached to you, the gospel that was preached to you. So all those phrases are about the word of God, different ways of talking about the word of God. It's the truth. It's an imperishable seed. It's the word of the Lord. It comes directly from the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. It's his word, and it's good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. All that is how Peter's talking to his folks here about the word. And so, and then the other thing you're going to see is, and I'm taking you through how I had to get at this text. Okay, that's what I'm taking you through. How I wanted to understand exactly what was being said. Now, so I need to do this kind of preliminary, and then we'll go back and we'll finish it off. The other thing you see, that you're always looking for things, phrases that are being repeated, or the same thing that's being talked about, but just in a different way, in a text. That's, you're looking for key words, key phrases that's being used. So what else is repeated in here? You see it real quick, or... souls, pure heart, same thing, same idea, heart, soul, first be through living by we're going. Okay, so those two things are, he's saying something's happened in your heart, and that's what you want to focus on, is that God is transforming us. He's caused us to be born again by the word of God, but he's also transforming us and growing our souls, if you will, our hearts, through the word of God. All right, so that's a little preliminary. So that what that does is, when you think about it that way, it opens up all kinds of scripture passages. And that you can see, because Peter's the church that Peter's writing to, the people of Jesus that Peter is writing to, it's like a Peter Pepper Pecta, is discouraged, right? They're suffering. They're discouraged. They've had to leave friends and family. They're wondering what's going on. Are they really making a difference for the Lord in this world? Are they really? They love the Lord. They want to see more people come to know him. But now they're suffering and they're discouraged and they're wondering what's going on. And Peter is drawing them back and saying, "Look back to the Word. Look back to how you came to faith in Christ because of the Word that changed your life." And now feed on that word so that your hearts and your souls will be encouraged and will find rest and peace. Because that's what Jesus has already done for you. He has purified your souls. He has given you And we're going to get into the why he purifies it. And the fruit of living this way is love. Love for one another. We'll get to that in just a minute. All right. So I want to take a couple of things. We're doing this just a little bit differently this morning. But I want you to see a couple of things. Turn to Isaiah 55 with me for just a second. And just kind of get at the heart. I'm getting at the heart of Peter for his church, for his people that he's trying to shepherd. And I'm trying to do the same thing that I believe Peter was doing for his folks. So Isaiah 55. I'm not going to go to the verses that Nolan read, but they're great verses, especially where God promises that his word is active and living and at work. But I want to start with verse 1, because I'm getting into the word, how the word impacts and shapes and changes and works on our souls, even as believers. It works on our souls to make us believers. That's how we're saved, by the living and abiding word of God. But that word's abiding, and it continues to sanctify us and work in our souls. So here's what Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Okay, so we're asking in a question, in a text like this, you're going, okay, thirst. What am I supposed to be thirsting for? Come buy and eat. What am I thirsting for? God, right? He's saying those who thirst for God, because in the next verse, and the gospel word of God, the good news that we can have a relationship with God through Christ. Because look at the rest of verse 2. He says, don't spend your money for that which is not bread, which won't satisfy your physical being. Don't labor for that which does not satisfy. And he's talking about our souls, right? He's talking about our souls. He's using a physical metaphor to talk about our souls. Listen diligently to me. So what do? Listen to the Lord. Hear his word. And eat what is good. So as we listen and hear and really understand what God is saying, then we're eating what is good, what will satisfy our souls. And delight yourselves in rich food. Do you see that the word of God is the actor here that's going to bring satisfaction to our dry and thirsty lives and souls, and that's going to bring it's going to feed the hunger that we feel in at the center of our lives, because we're discouraged and we don't know what life is about. The word of God is the actor here. Listen diligently, eat what is good, delight yourselves in rich food, incline your ear and come to me. Hear me, God is saying. Hear my word. Spend time with me in my word. Hear me, that your soul may live. If you're discouraged or depressed in this room this morning, this is the remedy. The word of God, the truth, the living and abiding word, the word that is from the Lord himself, the good news of the gospel. Those are all synonyms for the word. Turn to back to Psalm 19. If I can get there, we'll get there. And I just want you to see the power of the word of God, the power of the gospel word, and what it does in our lives. So verse 7 in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord, another way to talk about the commands of the Lord, another way to talk about the word of the Lord. As disciples, right, we're supposed to grow learning and obeying all that Jesus commands us. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? Reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What does the testimony of God do? This is his revelation, his testimony. it makes wise the simple. Or another way to say that, it makes wise those who are confused. Confused about life. Confused about whatever. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And that's where Peter's folks are at. They've gotten outside of the joy of the Lord. And the remedy is to go back to the gospel word of God. To go back to the gospel truth in Jesus, who he is, what he has done, and go back to the truth of the cross and the resurrection, but to also go back to the very words of God, the very words of Jesus that are found throughout the Bible. If your soul is depressed, discouraged, Lord. So that's what Peter's trying to do here. He's helping them, seeking to help us and his people he's shepherding to understand the sanctification process, how we grow up in holiness before the Lord. The salvation of sinful, unholy mankind has been, is now, and always will be by grace alone, through faith alone, in God's word alone, Jesus Christ. The promises of God are what feed our souls and make us come alive to the joy that we have in Christ. What we get bogged down with as a people today is we think it's about self-help. We think that, okay, Jesus saved me, now I just have to kind of go it on my own. That's legalism. We don't ever outgrow the Word of God. We don't ever outgrow our need for the Lord to be working in our lives. We don't ever outgrow the gospel message and Word of Jesus Christ. Because that's our life. That's what Peter said when everybody's, Jesus in John 6 says, hey, everybody, in order, if you want to have eternal life, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn, and the phrase literally says, of me. Learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. So we still have to do that. We still have to find rest in Jesus. We don't outgrow our need for the gospel. We grow deeper into our need for the gospel of Jesus Christ and to understand it and then understand how it applies to every heart issue or every circumstance of my life. So, it's not a self-help or religious system. No one has ever been, is now, or ever will be saved or sanctified by some type of self-help religious system. No one ever has been or ever will be justified, declared righteous before a holy God, or sanctified, live from a pure heart for God in growing in holiness and obedience to him before a holy God. In human, nobody ever will live, be sanctified in human fleshly strength or power or smarts or whatever. Because God does not get glorified then. I get glorified as the smart one or the righteous one or the, and those are all titles that go to Jesus and Jesus alone. So, the word of the Lord has creative power behind it. That's what Peter is reiterating to this people whom he loves. God is known and God does his recreating work progressively in the souls of men and women through the gospel words of our Lord. And through our Lord's effectual words, the words getting applied to our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And so that's what we are about. That's what this text is about. And that's what Peter is trying to say. So then we want to go back to the text. Let's take it apart a little bit. That's really bad. So we're going to try to go to the next. Let's clear that. You sure you want to clear all the annotations on this slide? Yes, I do. All right. Well, it's still doing that. Okay, I don't know what to do. I got to get to my next slide. There we go. So the word of the Lord has creative power behind it. You have been, past tense, born again through the living and abiding word of God. So the Lord works through his gospel word in this world. It elicits faith in a dead human heart and brings dead people to life as the word goes out, the gospel word of God goes out. And God is known and does his recreating work in the souls of men and women through the gospel word of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're saved by the gospel word of Jesus Christ, and we're sanctified by the gospel word of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter wants us to grapple with and to know and to understand. I wanted to tell a few stories about how I've seen this at work. And Nolan talked about maybe sometimes we don't believe that there's power in the word of God. And I want to just reassure all of you, number one, if you know Jesus Christ in this world, room today, it's because the word of God has transformed you and brought you to saving faith. That's what it means to be born again. Somebody who is dead in their trespasses and sin because the word of Christ, the gospel word, came to them. That word has power to bring them to faith in Jesus. The word does the work. So ministry, Christian ministry, is always about relationships and the word of God. If you want to see your friends and neighbors come to faith in Christ, that's the only way it's going to happen. Because it's the word that's powerful. I don't save anybody. I can't change anybody's heart in this room today. But this word can. This word can. And I've seen it over and over again, starting with my own life. When I was sitting there on my basement floor, drunk, in high school after a hockey game, and I knew my soul was empty. I knew I was a sinner. And I just opened the book to Ephesians chapter 2. And the Lord spoke directly into my heart. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you are living, were living. It's past tense, but I was taking it as present tense. And as I read through chapter 2, I came alive to God through Christ and through faith in Christ. The word changed my life. The gospel word of Christ changed my life. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light that moment on my basement floor. And all I knew at that point is I was saved by the Lord through his word. And so I wanted to get that word out to everybody. And that's what I did. I started with all my friends, lost a lot of friends. They thought I was crazy. But I was just born again. And I knew it was through the living and abiding word of God that I was born again. And so I just said, well, okay, Lord, I guess if I just get people in this word, if they'll get in the word with me, maybe you'll change their lives too. And that's what I started doing. That's what I started doing. And I started to see people come to faith in Christ. My friend Bob, I worked with him at Sears. Bob was the least likely candidate to come to faith in Christ. If you're just looking for the rich young ruler type who looks kind of moral and looks kind of good on the outside, and that wasn't Bob. Bob was a young guy, good-looking guy. He was into everything that means for a young, single, good-looking guy. And he was an alcoholic, a flaming alcoholic at 19 when I met Bob. So I worked with him at Sears. I got to know him. I went out with him. I drove him home a couple of times after he got bombed. But I was just there because I wanted to love on him like Jesus had loved on me, and I wanted to see Bob come to faith in Christ. So I said, Bob, let's do a Bible study. He goes, all right. So we got the Gospel of John, and I saw Bob become saved, become a new person in Christ. Not because of anything I did, because I got the Word did the work. The Word does the work. And that's what Jesus says. Turn with me to John chapter 5. I'm just talking about the living and abiding Word of God. I'm just trying to get us excited maybe again about this word and how amazing the word of the Lord is. That Peter says, you alone, Lord Jesus, have the words of eternal life. And that's true. It's not just the words that they actually give life. Jesus, that's what Peter was saying. Your words give life. That's what he's saying here. Don't forget the life-changing aspects of the word. So John 5, it's going on. There's giving testimony to who Jesus has been giving testimony to who he is. If you go to verse, I'm looking for the right verse here. Come on now. Verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Son gives life to whom he will. So go on a little bit further. I'm looking for my notes on this. 5:20 to 24. So I'm in the midst of that. Verse 22, the Father judges no one, for has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So whoever hears my word, does Jesus still get his word out? Are people still coming to faith by hearing Jesus' word? Yes. Yes. And so his word not only elicits, comes to people, but it opens our ears so that we hear, and then that we eyes so that we see who Jesus is. The word has recreative power in it. Remember Peter, how did God create the world? Through speaking, right? What does Peter remember about Jesus? How Jesus went around and he spoke, right? He spoke. And he would say, he would just by a word be able to what? Heal people. Change their physical structure so that they were completely healed of whatever was going on. Well, if he has that authority over the human physical body, he also has that authority over the human soul. And by his word, his recreative word, he will change and does change and continues to change people's lives. And then through that same living and abiding word, he helps us to grow in obedience and love to both him and to others. And that's the next phrase here. So you see, the fruit of the word is love. So get back into 1 Peter. We're jumping. I'm hoping this is helpful, and I'm hoping it gets at what Peter is getting at here in the text. So having purified your souls, verse 22, by your obedience to the truth, for the purpose of a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Why? Since or because you have been born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. Okay, what's going on here? So you got by means of the obedience to the truth, receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're purified, our souls are purified, we now belong to Jesus in this world, and we live for Jesus in obedience to Jesus progressively in this world, because the truth has purified us and set us and given us obedience. That's what the new covenant is, right? If you go to Ezekiel 36 or Jeremiah 31, it talks about the new covenant where God was going to take out our heart of flesh, our heart of stone, our hardness of heart towards God. He's going to take out our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Souls that now love God. Love Jesus. So if that's you in this room, then he's changed your heart. Because naturally our hearts are hard towards God and hard towards Jesus. And that takes a miracle of God to take a hard heart and do heart transplant and give us a new heart that now loves God. And so the fruit that the power of God has entered into your life and mine is love. Love for God, love for Christ. Passionate, committed love. Agape love. Agape is God kind of love. It's a committed love. It's the love that will not let you go, or let Jesus go in this case. It's a committed, all of life love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens. That's what happens when we're born again. That love now is what is in our hearts. And then God goes on in Ezekiel 36 to talk about the new covenant, that he's going to write his laws on our hearts. Why? So that we desire to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter's saying. That's already happened to you. I know it because you're obeying him with your life to the point of suffering for him in this world. Giving up everything. It's a single-minded devotion. It's a love, a committed love to Jesus, that you're willing to give up everything that this world loves. Home, money, security in this world, family, friends, because of your love for Jesus Christ. That's the fruit that we have been born again, is love for Christ and love for one another. A committed form of love to our brothers and sisters in Christ in a local fellowship. So he's saying, don't let the suffering, don't let the discouragement, don't let the hardships come between you and your love for Jesus and your love for each other in Jesus. Keep that committed love, that agape love, strong. And the way you keep it strong is through the Word of God. Created and creating that love and then fanning that love for Jesus and that love for others into your heart. He's got two different words for love here, which is, so you've been purified your souls by obedience to the truth of God in Christ for the purpose of a sincere brotherly love. Excuse me, that's Philadelphia, the word for love there. Affection. And I believe what he's saying is, now, because of what God has done in your heart and mine, we have an affectionate love for all people. This is love your neighbor love. This is why Jesus says, lift up your eyes that the fields are white for harvest, when he's talking to a Samaritan sinner at the well who's a prostitute, the town prostitute. Because Jesus had a love for her. And if we know Jesus now, we have a love for others. Paul says the love of Christ controls me. And he's talking about love for those who don't know Christ. So when we're about self-righteousness as Christians or as a church, and we're pointing our moral fingers down at the world, we don't know the love of Christ. We don't know it. We're not living in it. Because it's all about grace. It's all about mercy, undeserved favor, love towards and compassion towards the guilty. That's what mercy is. And those are two forms of love. Jesus says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. And how does Jesus sum up the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the fruit we're looking for. If we're a people of the gospel word, if we're a people of this book, that's what comes out of us. Love for the community that we live in the name of Christ. Love for one another. Now that's the word agape. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's the agape love. That's the nothing can separate us from the love of Christ in Romans 8 love. If we're truly brothers and sisters in Christ in a local body, any local body, then we got to be that committed to each other. Nothing's going to separate us. That's the kind of love Jesus wants us to show to one another. And that's the fruit of those who have been changed and born again by the living and abiding Word of God. So that's what Peter's saying. So then he goes on the next phase, because what do we naturally want to do when we're in trouble or the circumstances are hard, or we instead of going back to the Word, instead of relying on God and trusting Him, instead of, what do? You do it and I do it, it's okay. It's a safe place. We go do something, right? We depend on our own strength. We depend on our own smarts. We depend on our own abilities. Instead of running to Christ, like the song told us this morning. That's what we do, and that's what Peter's saying in the next phrase. People who have been given new life by the Word of God need to stop relying on your own power and strength and live by trusting the power of the Word of the Lord to work in your life, my life, our life, the city's life. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Do you see the contrast? So all flesh, all human beings, apart from entering into eternal life, are like grass. I cut my grass the other day. It got so long on vacation that I had to cut it, and I mulched it. I didn't want to bag it because I'd be out there for like 6 weeks trying to bag all that grass. So what happened? So I cut that grass. It came up. I cut it. How quickly does that grass die? Like that. It was brown. Almost immediately. It was green when I cut it. It's brown almost immediately. It's dead. That's what he's saying here. Why would you rely, you know, the Isaiah 55 passage, why do you look for food where there is no food? Why do you look for refreshment for your soul or for answers where there are no answers? Man doesn't have any answers. Man doesn't have anything that man can teach us that will satisfy our souls. But God does, and He offers it to us freely. And as believers in Christ, He offers, obviously, it's ours to drink from this well every single day. And yet, so often in my life, I look everywhere else but to the Word. So Peter is encouraging them and saying, don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at what the world's saying about how you live, or you're not successful, or you're not this, or you're not that. Look to God's Word. Look to His Word. I want to leave and challenge you guys just as we go out here this morning, as on Father's Day, to I'm going to leave you with a minute. I'm going to do a video here, and then we're going to go out with maybe just one of your songs today, Zach. Above all else, guys, and I'm challenging myself here as well, we want to be men of the Word, right? We want to be men after God's own heart, and the way that we get after God's own heart is through the Word of God. And then we want to be men who teach the Word of God. We want to be men like Joshua, courageous men of the Word. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Speak it. They're words of life. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to what is written in it. That's what Peter's encouraging his folks with in the Lord. Hopefully, I'm encouraging you with that. we are a people who are born again and built on the Word of God. We are that people. That's who we are in Christ. We've found life in the words of our Lord, who has the words of eternal life, and now we need to live that out and share that wealth with others so that they might come to find Jesus, who is the fountain of living water. Amen? Amen. We're not going to do the video, guys. We're going to just worship. Let's go out worshiping.